Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
What's up, Jay? I don't have the vitty like you had a couple weeks ago, but I do have the nasal congestion. So if I sound like shit.
Oh, good. Good for you. Good for you.
Don't be surprised. But I'm not also going to be hacking up a lung during the show as well. So we got that going for us, at least.
If you want to slide out of camera to try to replace your head with a new head, like I had to every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So we are back. There is some interesting things to talk about. Speeches and telling everybody like, hey, these guys are kind of terrorists and this is probably a bad idea. And then them proving it. Like, yeah. Hey, first opportunity, why don't I steal a plane, try to crush it into a Walmart?
a Walmart of all places. Like, yeah, why?
That's your constituency. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let's get right into it. Joe Biden, President Joseph Robinette Biden, gives a speech highlighting a number of things and kind of goes guns blazing on Trump. Look, I saw clips of the speech. I didn't watch the whole thing. But what was very apparent to me is that he realizes that, or that Biden realizes that coming up to the midterms, they have to frame Trump and sort of these MAGA Republicans as the extremists that they truly are, right? And they are extremists. That's not just Biden making it up. You can just look at their policies they support and the things that they do. One of the things I thought that was really good is, you know, here's a quote, Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic. There is no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans, and that is a threat to this country. That to me is smart because it distinguishes, like from a political standpoint, it distinguishes regular Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans. Like, that's smart, yeah. Right? Like, we would make the argument that, at least I would make the argument that, like, most of the Republicans are MAGA Republicans. But he's trying to speak to the last few sane ones and be like, I don't think that you're in the same camp. So yeah. I'm not just saying Republicans, I am saying MAGA Republicans, just so that you know, if you don't agree with that, I'm not talking to you. Or like, I'm not talking about you.
Not of course, not going to stop the right wing from alleging that he's just lumping everyone into the same bucket, of course.
But, of course. That's exactly what they do.
It's helpful to draw the distinction. Man, I tell you what, I really wish I could have focused on the content on the speech more. Instead, the discourse from places like CNN immediately shifted to Joe Biden's misusing the military by having Marines pose behind him for the speech. Like, that was the thing that like Brianne Keller and others were, you know, rolling forward. Let's forget the fact that, you know, the previous guy didn't know what a norm was. Mm-hmm. Couldn't define it if his life depended on it. Literally held the Republican National Convention on the lawn of the White House.
Right. Which was totally fine by them, right?
That's the level that we're talking about. But of course, you know, again, the Democrats held to the impossible standard. So Biden makes, you know, one something that could be perceived as a, you know, a faux pas, and all of a sudden, like, forget what he said. Like, this is what we're going to focus in on is the inappropriate nature of Marines, you know, being stationed behind him during the speech.
Right, so. And then also the hyper concentration on it being read behind Joe Biden, right. It was like, oh, you know, the right's conspiracy laden nutballs are all like, oh, this is evil, this is terrible, you know, look what he's doing and all this other stuff. But then when you zoom out, like, it's blue on the sides, it's red. It's like,
yeah,
because those are the colors of the country, guys. Like,
yeah,
the whole flag thing, you know, I don't know, crazy.
Funny how that works. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a good speech. I think that he's been crushing it in terms of the message that he needs to deliver. It's really good that he's not backing away from the message at all, even in the face of, you know, some misleading criticism from the right. And this is right. this is the guy that we need. Like, this is the dude that we need leading the charge for the midterms. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think he's, again, I think he's feeling himself after those couple of victories. And he's like, it's like, oh, is this what it feels like to win? Like, and... And look, it does take a certain ability to catch that moment and know that you're in the moment, right? Because a lot of people go, oh, well, we got those victories. We don't want to, like, let's not rock the boat, right? Like we'll do the victories and then we're just going to kind of stay quiet and just like let it go. No, he's like, no, I'm going to stand on the front of the ship and we're going to ride this motherfucker to the shore, right? Like, yeah. And I can appreciate that political sort of viewpoint, right? In that ability to see like, okay, we're at the top of the wave, ride the wave. Don't cower and just hope that the wave will do what it does. You got to lead it, right? You got to be on top and you got to run it. So
it is interesting to see him so forward, because typically in normal times, like not Donald Trump times, like the president would typically like lay low during a midterm election a little bit, because again, yeah. Like the midterm is the quote unquote referendum on the administration. And so, you know, typically there's not a whole lot of, you know, people are hyper focusing on the bad news. And instead we have like a lot of good news from the left, and Republicans are trying and really failing to stick them with bad news like inflation and stuff like that. But inflation is easing slightly. Gas prices are going down. I still love how Republicans have not figured out the definition of the word seize. Like, they don't know what seize means, because they keep posting about like, oh my God, 40 tons of fentanyl were seized at the border. Joe Biden's policies. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you want? You guys
understand, like, that means that it's not coming into the country, right? Like, you understand that, like, you're actually, you know, praising him in that.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's
like, how dare you, Joe? Stop yeah. people from overdosing on fentanyl. Yeah. What a crazy idea. What an asshole Joe Biden is. So
he, yeah, Joe Biden is hurting the ability of doctors in poor states to enrich themselves by prescribing fentanyl needlessly to patients. What a bastard.
Yeah. Or drug addicts overdosing on it because it's being put into their drugs unbeknownst yeah. to them. Like, Joe Biden doesn't even want to kill innocent drug addicts. Like, what an asshole. So, like, it is interesting, like, that perspective of we normally don't see a president out front leading the charge, because he's like, just don't talk about me and vote for my yeah. guys. But that's not where he is. Like, of all the times, like, this could swap and change, you know, from being a boom year for the Republican Party, I love that it's happening under Biden. I really do, because 2 years of them, oh, he's senile, he doesn't know anything, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, what happened? Like, y'all in a world of trouble now. Like, we have a story later on. Like, the blame game is on, man. Like, that's how you know it's bad. They're starting to knife each other in public, the Republicans are, because their sort of surefire thing of definitely taking the House and definitely taking the Senate are shrinking. And there's only 2 months left. Like,
such is the problem when your standard bearer is still very visible and very present. And yet the news that you hear about him every day is just about how much more fucked up this document situation gets.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, look, it is super interesting. You know, Trump's response to Biden was basically the speech in Pennsylvania, I believe, that was absolutely unhinged. Basically was like, you know, he quite literally said Joe Biden is an enemy of the state, right? Or enemy of the people, which, you know, he's got to play his greatest hits, of course. But there were a number of like former officials and, you know, government folks who were like, yeah, this speech was just like a pro. It's cool to like attack the FBI and the president type of shit, which is really given Joe Biden a lot of ammunition for exactly what he said, which is why, like, make no mistake, that was on purpose, because Trump can't help but respond. So you throw out an accusation, and Trump, the small man that he is, will absolutely run headfirst into it and say, no, we're not this, we'll kill you. He's like, oh, okay, that's the kind of psycho shit we're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of the republic, of our republic. Yeah, that's quite literally what his speech completely advocated for, you know, a day later. So it's kind of amazing. Again, they get the moment that they're in, and they're playing him exactly right.
And like you said, he's incapable of helping himself. He's incapable of showing any level of discipline to avoid from stepping on the rake. That's being like laid out in front of his face.
Yeah.
Which is great. Cause again, it does nothing but help us. And pollsters are out there like seeing the results of stuff like, and, you know, don't look at the, you know, the races that are predetermined kind of thing, like the competitive races are what you want to look at in the House. And there's a lot of pollsters out there that are like, there's a real chance like the Democrats are going to hold on to the House in this midterm, which is insane. Cause right now they have 1-8 seat advantage in the House. And normally in a typical midterm year, like that should be nothing.
Sometimes they'll trade 20 seats.
Yeah.
Right. Like easily, sometimes more than that. So like, if they hold and then they pick up seats, oh, that's going to be embarrassing. Yeah. Oh, that's going to hurt, man. That's going to hurt. Look, I think the Senate, I think that's lost. I think that's a done deal for them.
I'm not counting my chickens, but I'm a lot more confident than I thought I would be, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
At this time.
And look, if Democrats hold both the Senate and the House, one, that just looks really super good narratively, right? Mm-hmm. But if they do, that needs to be a wake-up call to Democratic voters that norm of losing every two years if your guy's the president, that's bullshit. Like, that doesn't have to happen anymore. Get out there and vote. Get amped and get out there and vote and crush these motherfuckers. There are more of you than there are of them. That's it. Simply. So I'm hoping they win for obvious reasons, but I also want to break that narrative. Like that.
It would be nice. And again, it would also be nice because the White House has learned and Congress has learned the playbook. And, you know, I could easily see a groundswell of really cool policy getting passed in, you know, the spring and summer of 2024 to kind of lead up to, you know, the presidential election. So
look, I can tell you right now, if Joe Biden and the Democrats hold the House and the Senate, you're getting weed legalization. That's happening. Like, that's 100% happening. Cause that, like, he could just change this rescheduling anytime. But if he also has the backing of Congress all the way, yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he'll do it. Cause think Joe cares? Nah, he'll call his buddy Corn Pop up and be like, hey, we doing this? Although I believe Corn Pop is officially dead, actually. Next up, you know what? I'm going to let you introduce this story.
Yeah.
Your title, The Worst Guy You Know, makes a great point. Go ahead.
It's pretty funny. So one of the things that we've been kind of waiting to see is what this ruling of the appointment of a special master is going to be happening to look at the documents that were seized from Mar-a-Lago to see what might be privileged, which seemed like the whole argument from the FBI in opposing it was like, this is unnecessary. Like, we've reviewed all the documents. Like, we've returned the stuff that is not relevant. Right. We already know what's in there. And also, executive privilege is not retroactive. Unless Trump has a document that's signed and backdated to, you know, when he could have declassified them when he was still or marked them as privilege when he was still the president, then it's not really relevant because executive privilege doesn't leave, you know, doesn't stay with you for the rest of the rest of your life. It's not like Bill Clinton, you know, they could be like, hey, Bill Clinton, like, we want to seize this document from you. He's like, oh, executive privilege. Sorry about that. Like, I'm still old President Clinton. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, yeah, only the current dude gets to decide that.
Yeah. Sorry, Bill, your French fry order at McDonald's is not executive privilege.
Yeah. So we incorrectly predicted either last week or 2 weeks ago that this judge, Eileen Cannon, who was a Trump appointee in the lame duck period, she was showing signs of being like, nah, this is nonsense. Like, I'm not going to do this. Well, it turns out that we should have known better because she definitely ruled that, yeah, we should definitely appoint a special master for some ungodly reason.
So basically her point was like, we got to give Trump a win here. Like, the deck is stacked too heavy against him. I'm like, that's not how crimes work. Like, it's not how crimes work. Get the fuck out of here. But we shouldn't be surprised. She's a fucking hack judge, clearly.
So enter stage right, former Attorney General Bill Barr.
Enter stage hard right.
Who came out on TV and called the special ruling, called the ruling by the judge appointing a special master, wrong and deeply flawed. Quoting now from Bill Barr, the opinion I think was wrong, and I think the government should appeal it. It's deeply flawed in a number of ways. I don't think the appointment of a special master is going to hold up.
It quite literally doesn't make sense, especially your point of like the FBI's like, we already read everything.
Yeah, like we're like, done. Like here, like we gave him his shit back that isn't the government's. Like right. I don't understand like what this is supposed to be in regards to.
So okay. Here's my theory as to why the special master what the idea here is. Special master is there, like you have to have both the FBI or the DOJ lawyers and Trump's lawyers agree on mm-hmm. who's going to be the special master. Right. How do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, not well.
and they cannot use that evidence until
that's the fucked up part. That's the fucked up part is that the ruling also says, hey, anything that you guys have already seized and have reviewed, you can't use in a criminal proceeding until it's been reviewed by the special master. And that's why people are getting pissed off, because this is like there's no standing for it. Like it looks fucked up from the outset. Like
yeah,
like their legal
because there's no way anyone the DOJ puts up as a special master Trump is going to accept. And there's right, no way anybody that Trump dude, I heard on the list Giuliani's on the list. Oh yeah, they'll be all over that one. Like, get out of here.
Our boy who the three of us, me, you, and Andy, have been having a fun time kicking his hot takes back and forth in the group, Nick Adams, suggests appointing Trump to be the special master of his own documents.
Is that guy for real?
I have no idea. Because if he is for real, he's literally the most delusional person walking the planet Earth, and if he's not for real, then bravo, sir, because that shtick is
awesome. I mean, his whole football thing with all the Christian players was also really funny. But at the same time, like it's a cult, so like it's not that crazy.
That's like illegal immigrants coming over to Joe Biden's southern border was a pretty good line, I got to say. Pretty funny.
His whole thing about like Donald Trump having a better backhand than Roger Federer and more swag than Andre Agassi in his prime was the dumbest shit I've ever heard. It was absolutely crazy. I was like, okay, like, is this guy nuts? It's probably.
Well, and meanwhile, DOJ is also out here like trying to weigh like, oh, like, you know, we're getting pretty close. Like their kind of rule of thumb is they don't pursue political cases, you know, within 60 days of an election. But again, Donald Trump's not running. Like he's not a candidate in any of these elections, so that should be irrelevant completely.
Yeah, I'm not buying the special master thing. Look, the idea that you can't do anything with the evidence that you've gained until they pick a special master, that's the one thing that actually scares me, is that they're going to try to run the clock down on this. But I got to imagine there's a recourse here. Like
they can appeal the ruling, and
yeah, but who are they appealing? They're appealing it to another court. How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know. A higher court, not the Supreme Court. And I would imagine that a higher now again, this could end up in the hands of the Supreme Court, because you know if it keeps getting appealed, if it just gets ping pong, that we can see that happen, and maybe that's really the whole thing here is they're just trying to run as much clock as they possibly can, you know, keep the investigation from proceeding for as long as possible. And then maybe if they're lucky, they can, you know, then he can declare he's running and then, you know, looks political, this or the other thing. I don't know. If Trump was a normal dude and not a psycho, he would be looking for any way out of this possible. Like he would be lining up to plead out to this if he could, and roll over on some folks. But again, because he's incapable of admitting any wrongdoing, and taking responsibility for anything that he's done, then he, you know, he's going to fight this tooth and nail. So,
yeah, I don't know, man. I really don't know. This is like extra special crazy, because I just cannot imagine that anything that the move here isn't to just stalemate on the special master. Like, I don't know how any judge couldn't see that, who's like worth their salt, that is what they'll do. They'll put up a bunch of crazies, DOJ will say absolutely not. The DOJ will put up legitimate people, and then they'll be like, no, for like rando reasons, right? Oh, deep right. stater or whatever fucking bullshit. Because it doesn't matter who the DOJ puts up. Like, I'm sure, you know, MAGA conservatives will be like, they're going to put up Peter Strzok or some other. No, they're not. They're not. They're not going to put up anybody controversial at all.
They're going to pull up someone. They're going to put up someone you've probably never heard of before. Right. In all honesty.
Right. Like, they're going to just pull up some fucking generic person like Joe Bean Counter, and they will dig in and try to find something wrong with this person. And then at the end of the day, they'll be like, oh, that person's fine, but we don't want them.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. So, like, I feel like there should be a time frame. Like, if you don't give, or like so many suggestions, like if you don't give up, you got to give up four suggestions. And once we're through your four suggestions, we're done. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, then no special master, like somebody you got to pick from that. And I think that again, should be.
But I think the FBI still has a good ground to appeal on anyway by saying this is unnecessary. Like, there's no we wouldn't do this for anybody else. Like in this circumstance, number one, and B, it's not needed. Like, we've been there, done this. Unless they're prepared to say that executive privilege can live outside of the current office holder, which again has a lot of ramifications that Republicans aren't going to like one day. So.
Oh, no, you definitely are not going to like that. Yeah. Because Hillary Clinton could come out and be like, yeah, Benghazi, fuck you. And they'd be like, oh, don't worry. Under the Barack Obama administration, that's executive privilege. Like, you just, like, you can't do shit to her, right? Like, we'll take these documents, right? Like, and that's silliness, right? Like, nobody thinks that makes sense. It remains to be seen how this goes. I think the government should appeal it. I think they would be stupid to allow this to stand. And look, part of the reason why the special master thing ultimately doesn't make any sense is because it slows down the process. And there are documents that are out there now that we know are, you know, serious national security things. I mean, just late this week, we learned that some of the documents are the nuclear capabilities of our allies in other countries, right? That information being out in the public is timely, and it matters getting that stuff back and pulling that back from wherever the hell it is or whatever. Those things are timely. Adding a special master drags things out. You cannot protect the country and protect the country's secrets that are timelined if the timeline doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't work. And by the way, I didn't put this on the docket because I forgot. But speaking of that, they found 45 envelopes that were labeled top secret and secret that were empty. Where are those documents, dude? Yeah. Like, what's the problem? Where are they? I thought they weren't just all sitting out. They were in boxes, right? But, you know, did the FBI plant those envelopes and not anything in them?
Yeah, plant the folders without anything being in them.
Probably not.
I declassified those folders.
Yeah. I had a blanket pardon or rather a blanket declassification. Really, where's your documents on that? Well, I didn't need it. I just stood over it and gave it the old one, two.
John Solomon literally said that he had a standing order that anything that was taken, removed from the White House was automatically declassified. And people are just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that is not at all how this works. So.
All right, cool. If that's true, we can do FOIA requests on it then?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your argument? You sure? All right. All the documents you took? You sure? Okay. I feel like there's probably stuff on him himself that he probably doesn't want shit out there.
Well, and a lot of journalists have done that because that, like, to either say, hey, like, we want to put these documents out in the public if they're truly declassified, or to kind of prove the point that this is bullshit, because a FOIA court's going to be like, no, these are still classified. And they're going to be like, well, this guy said it wasn't. And they're going to be like, yeah, well, he's an idiot, so don't fucking listen to him.
Yeah, like, ultimately, that's what all of this comes down to. Could someone do a FOIA request and get those? If the answer is no, then they're not declassified. Period. Yeah. Like, you can't just yell like Michael from The Office, I declare bankruptcy. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you got documents to fill out, my guy. Like, you talk to the agencies that they control those documents. They change the stamp on it. Like, it says declassified on it now. Like, you can't just say it you're not a king. And like quite literally his mentality is that of a king of like, well, I just said it. So it's done.
Yeah. I have decreed it from, yeah. from my, my golden pedestal.
Yes. So. Prima nocta. I've decreed it. It's back. So yeah, it's like, nah, yeah, that's just not the way this goes. Human skin tag, Steve Bannon, has been indicted on fresh.
That's a great description of the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking true. Steve Bannon to be indicted on fresh fraud charges over border wall. Scam. Because it is a scam. Top former Trump strategist Steve Bannon is expected to be indicted on Thursday in New York. Because of his, you know, that fucking bullshit, like, yeah, we're going to build a wall on the Mexico, U.S.-Mexico border, and we're not going to take profits from that. It's all going to go to the wall. Like, the fact that you said it tells me exactly what you were going to do. Yes. And that's what they did. They just funneled the money back to themselves. And they
right into their fucking pockets. For those that don't remember, this is the crime that Steve Bannon was charged with in federal court, that he was then pardoned. By Donald Trump in the last 2 months of the presidency.
Yep.
After it was clear that Trump had to go. But unfortunately for him, even if Trump were to get back into office in 2024, president don't have nothing to say about no state charges, my friend.
Nope. Sorry. I love this. And like the article goes on to say, like, the second after he got pardoned, New York was like, we should probably run that case. Like, they were on his ass, man.
And his co-conspirators all, I believe, were convicted or pled guilty.
Pled guilty. Yep.
A lot of incentive to have some cooperative witnesses against Steve Bannon.
Yeah, Colfage and Badalato, they pled guilty to siphoning off money from the scheme and defrauding others from their own gain. Yeah, best of luck, Steve. Yeah. Quote, here's a quote from Steve Bannon on this pending indictment tomorrow. He's supposed to be turning himself in. By the time you listen to this, Steve Bannon will be throwing himself at the mercy of the New York DA's office. Says, quote, the Soros-backed DA, they can't help themselves. George Soros is backing the district attorney of New York.
I mean, Jay, you can't attack the left without a healthy sprinkling of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, he's like, did you know George Soros is a Jew? Did you know? Let me remind you, the Soros three parentheses, the parenthetically referenced George Soros backed DA has now decided to pursue phony charges against me 60 days before the midterm election because War Room, that's his podcast. Is a major source of MAGA grassroots movement. That's done in your house. Relax. We do this in our houses. Relax. It's not that big of a deal. Phony charges? Nah, dude. They're not phony.
Yeah, like you were literally indicted on these before, and you literally have other people that are pled guilty to these,
and you were found guilty.
Yes.
Like,
no. I don't think he had gone to trial yet at that point. I think that was pending, and Trump pardoned prematurely. So,
but either way, those other two definitely pleaded guilty.
Yeah,
but it's phony. Okay.
I mean, also, like, again, a presidential pardon can be used as evidence. Be like, hey, like, he accepted a pardon. Part of accepting a pardon is admitting guilt in what you're doing. So.
That's right. Not if you're George Arpaio. I didn't do a crime. I was pardoned. Yeah, but that's not okay. Like, I'm a lawyer. I'm telling you, that's what it means.
Well, I'm a sheriff.
Okay, that means nothing. You're 1,000 years old. Like, that's like,
when I go arrest someone and they said they were pardoned, like, that's like, they're innocent. Like, I can't do it.
I can't get them. I can't get them.
Yeah. Like, I saw you shoot that man. Well, I was pardoned. Oh, not guilty.
I never did it. The bullet just came right out of the guy. Yeah. That was that interview between Arpaio and Ari Melber was fucking hilarious. Like, no, but I'm a lawyer. I'm telling you, that's what like, he was so annoyed. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you admit it. You know, God damn it. Like, I have to go. I've got rap lyrics to quote. Yeah, look, so Look, I do think, I ironically think Steve Bannon is correct about one part, just not the timing aspect, which is, you know, they're going after him, you know, before the midterms or whatever. Yeah, dude, they are. You're a criminal. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they think your podcast is making or breaking this election. I think you think that. Like, I can understand why you think that. But, yeah, they are going after you. And they're going after you because crimes. Like, you're guilty of a crime. And they do want to put you away because you're a you're a political activist, right? That part's true. You're a political activist. But you're not like a regular Republican who's like, all right, our guy should win. Or a Democrat like, our guy should win. You actually, like, quite literally try to stir the pot up of, like, violence and scheming and stealing and all this other stuff. Yeah, they're going after you because you're a fucking problem. You're a menace.
Yeah.
That's why. So, yeah, he's 100% right. Like, they are going after you. They're going after you for good reason. Like, you do crimes. Like,
he's a convicted criminal. Like I said, he got that. He got, you know, guilty on that contempt citation.
Yeah, he did. He did.
When is he going to jail for that, by the way, too?
I feel like they're just stacking him up at this point. Because isn't he supposed to do like a couple months or 2 years or something? At least,
I think it's a minimum of 30 days, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no.
And to my knowledge, I don't know that he started serving that. So
I don't think so. I kind of want it to be – I kind of just want them to stack this right on top. Like 30 days, and then they just transfer you right to the next prison. It's like, and this is 5 years.
Well, and even if he just has the 30 days, like I'd prefer them start the 30 days – and then, like, have it time it out so that it ends, like, the day after Election Day. So, like, the 30 days leading up to Election Day, like, he's just sitting in a prison cell.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I like that. He gets to emerge from his hobbit hole just to find out Democrats held the House and Senate and picked up seats. Like, that's what I want.
He'll call his friend and be like, stand outside my jail cell window and I'll scream my podcast out. You can record it. Get a 50-foot boomstick so you can hold the microphone outside the
window. He's like a reverse Lloyd Dobler. Like one of his goons is standing down there holding the boombox. And I also think gin is delicious. We know. God, we know. Oh my God, we know. So yeah, look, I think he's right though. Like they're definitely going after you. But it's not on a shady thing. Like you're a fucking real criminal. And like you've been doing hell
into crimes, much like everyone in Trump's orbit, basically
all of them. It's actually slightly weird, but it's actually not that weird because he's a criminal. So yes, it would make sense that Trump is also cool with that. So yeah, outside of that, Senate Republicans point fingers as the majority hopes slip away.
Now, I feel like we would be irresponsible podcasters if we did not at least bring up the point that, look, it's September 7th. We're literally 2 months away from Election Day. Polls mean nothing. Things could change. Like the, you know, current results are not a predictor of future success.
Basically. That's correct.
Yes.
Brad is a very reasonable person. Me, on the other hand, woo, we did it. No need to vote, everybody. We did it. Yeah, this is a very poor plan to just think we've got the shit in the bag. But things look good, right? Things are looking good. And so we got to keep on that same path. Yeah, Republicans are playing the blame game as they watch their chances of winning back the control of the Senate shrink 2 months before Election Day. Mitch McConnell is citing, quote, candidate quality. We had talked about that as a reason the GOP hopes are fading, an implicit criticism of former President Trump's and his support for several controversial GOP candidates. I mean, he's got some pretty bad ones. Trump, for his part, for weeks has been setting the stage to blame Mitch McConnell if the Republicans fail. But then Senator Rick Scott, the poster boy for Parcel Tongue,
he who shall not be named. That's
100% him. Tom Riddle over there. He's pissed at McConnell, or he's pissed at someone. He says it's not McConnell. I think it very much is McConnell. And this article seems to agree. But he's talking about how, like, you know, you know, people firing at, you know, Republicans firing back at other Republicans and you know, saying that, you know, we're not going to win and all this other stuff is quote, trash talking. That type of trash talking is, quote, an amazing act of cowardice and treasonous. Here's the thing. Amazing act of cowardice. Sure. If you're a Republican, I guess you could feel that way. I need you to stop using the word treasonous because, like, your party actually participated in that, like, an actual treason. So
not only that, but he's saying I'm pretty sure he's saying it in the terms of, like, you're betraying the Republican Party.
Yes, that's exactly what he's
saying. And it's just and that's not, like, that's not, the word treason doesn't apply there, my friend. Like, the Republican Party is not a sovereign state, last I checked.
They want to be.
I'm sure they do.
They
can be if we can hand select the parcels of land that we will donate to them to have their subcountry.
You can have the North and South Dakota. This is, take it with you. It's fine.
Plenty there. We will relocate the indigenous people.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. There's 9 of them left. Like, because you've treated them like garbage. Yeah. Scott is also in charge of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And he has burnt up all of their money because
not only that, but he also, like, was the guy that put out the shit message for them in the first place, because he put out, like, the Rick Scott manifesto, like, here's our grand strategy. And, like, you know what we're going to do?
Crazy, dude. Yeah,
let's defund Medicare and Social Security. Like, let's sunset those because we don't need those anymore.
Yep. Nobody's using them. Nobody's using. Why don't we just do, like, retirement accounts? Okay, yeah, that won't get fucking ruined. Under his leadership, the committee raised $181.5 million by the end of July, but spent 95% of it already. You got 2 months to go, dude. That's the hardest time. That's when you need the most money, is in the last month or two.
Indeed it is.
Leaving it with far less cash on hand than the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, according to the New York Times analysis. Like, look, it's funny because later on, you know, they talk to, like, John Thune, you know, and stuff like that. And they're all like, well, it's just a shame that Democrats are going to outspend us and all this stuff. Like, that's what they're trying to focus on, is that, like, that's building the narrative that Democrats just had more money and it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You had money.
Burn it up. Well, and again, like, it doesn't help that, like, the guy that is in charge of strategy. So, like, a couple weeks ago, Rick Scott decided to put out a tweet, like, attacking Joe Biden for going to Delaware, and being on vacation and shit like that. And people pointed out the fact that literally at the time that he made that tweet, Rick Scott was sailing on a private yacht in Italy.
Yeah, off the coast of Italy. Yeah, I saw that. Like,
and it's like, wow, like, that's some chutzpah to just fucking, you know, come out there like that.
Brad, I believe the term is chutzpah, according to who is that psycho? Michelle Bachman, right?
Oh, did she literally say that?
She said, time? Yeah, she once said this, that takes a lot of chutzpah, and people are like, that's not how that word's pronounced at all. You would know that if you had any Jewish friends. He was like, no, I just want them to all go to Israel and die so that super Jesus will come back. It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
It's interesting because a couple folks that we have a Hill story that we're looking at to talk about this. And a couple folks that they talk to, kind of like, people are trying to cover their own ass in case shit hits, you know, shit goes down, so that they're still in a prominent position to move forward, and not, you know, not going down with the ship, essentially.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So. John Cornyn, John Thune, like, all of these guys are like, no, everybody's cool, man. Like, I love everybody. Like, don't worry about it. John Cornyn's, quote is pretty interesting. He concerns me. A lot of Democrats are going to vastly outspend Republicans across the board, but as long as we have enough money to tell our story and defend our position, we'll be fine. There are multiple sources to fund the election. Tell your story. What's your story?
Yeah. What's your policy? Yeah.
Like,
now he's right about the second part. Like, they, like, literally, McConnell and Peter Thiel were battling over, I can't remember who they were battling. I think it was over Blake Masters, over who would be responsible for funding for injecting cash into Blake Masters' campaign. Apparently, Peter Thiel won that battle because McConnell had to like dole out $15 million out of some pack somewhere to throw at Blake Masters. So that's, you know, pretty interesting. So
Blake Masters is a money pit. That guy is not going to win. And that guy is a fucking extremist, man. He is a super extremist. But so is Peter Thiel. Like, like, that guy's crazy, again, by the way. Like, super crazy.
I've never heard of a name that just sounds white supremacist from hearing it, but Blake Masters is such a name. Like that name just oozes.
Yeah.
Like alt-right nonsense.
I got one for you. This guy I think is actually pretty cool. He does sometimes play a scumbag in movies, but he has the most like Nazi adjacent name I've ever heard. Cole Hauser.
Yeah.
That's an Indiana Jones villain. Okay. Like that's pretty bad. He had to fight that guy in front of the airplane. Like this is fucking pretty serious. But yeah, look, it's, no, they're in a world of trouble. And the fact that they're focusing on knifing each other while Democrats are focusing on actual messaging for once. And like really kind of like, we have a message, women's rights, you know, student loan relief, you know, John Fetterman is out there now talking about, you know, legalizing marijuana, like in smart and helpful ways. This goes to show you, like, this is when the team is working, man. Like, this is when you have a DCCC or the Democratic senatorial reelection campaign or committee, like, they figured out the messaging and they're running with it. And you got good candidates, right? Like, really legitimately good candidates.
It's been funny, too, because the candidates that Democrats do have are rather ideologically diverse.
They are.
But they're not, you know, but they're still kind of like, I don't want to say falling in line, but they're being consistent and they're having a unified message. Whereas normally Republicans are the best at this. Like they're the best at kind of solidifying behind one message, whatever batshit crazy message that is. I mean, 2018 was, hey, there's a caravan of migrants coming to coming to the border. I'd imagine we'll see that again, by the way, this year.
Oh yeah, no, that's gotta be forming like a hurricane on the coast, just waiting. Like, all right, here we go,
But they can't. It's like they can't decide though. Like some people really want to lean to, oh, Democrats are causing inflation and it's out of control right now. And then you have the fucking MAGA heads that just can't get off of the fact, like the election was stolen from Donald Trump. Like really, like do you really think that's a winning message?
Like, quite literally does think it is because he's still.
But I'm saying in what universe when you were trying to win votes and you're trying to appeal to voters who are swing voters, or you're trying to get Democrats to come join your cause, or you're trying to hang on to quote unquote reasonable Republicans, in what universe is constantly bringing up the last election going to convince those people to come help you, especially when Democrats are doing shit right now?
Yeah,
shit.
I don't know why they think it is a winning strategy, but I think that's all they got.
It is indeed all they have. And like I said, great. Like the fact that they can't come up with a compelling argument to elect them. Again, number one, this is you are now reaping what you sow, because that's what you get when you fall behind Donald Trump, because the dude literally has nothing of substance to offer from a policy standpoint, from a vision standpoint for the Republican Party. But yeah, like y'all the ones that came out 2 years ago and was like, yeah, like our, like what's the Republican Party platform? Whatever he says. Like that was
beyond stupid. Like, dude, at least write down what he largely believes, if you want to use that word, and then come up with a bullshit script.
There is nothing. That was the problem, is that they're like, whatever he said, and Donald Trump's like, fuck it. Like, I don't fucking know. Keep America great. That's my platform. I'm just like, what? the fucking problem? Like, have you been outside? Like, there's a fucking pandemic going on right now, my dude.
I didn't give a shit about that. No. Yeah. That shit got boring quick after they didn't take his advice on, you know, pouring bleach into people's mouths. Right. Yeah. He was like, I'm all out of ideas. Can we get light in the body? How do we do that? It's like, all right, big dumb asshole. So yeah, look, it's, I don't know what they're going to do, but this may be the moment that you get that introspective that they should have gotten in 2016 after Clinton whooped that ass, right? Like, mm-hmm. but because Trump won, in quotes, Trump won, because I'm still very dubious of that entire election, not in the MAGA way of like, I don't believe anything, like basic facts. Like, no, dude, there's a lot of shit that was
we're not talking about voting machines being tampered with. We're talking about the passive, you know, convincing of Americans through disinformation.
Right. Like, there's a lot of, like, really dubious shit that was just pushed down, like, quite literally pushed down, that we know was suppressed. Like, we know that, right? The Mueller report, we know that, the fact that those things happen. But that was a thing that they were supposed to have, that sort of party introspective of, like, where the fuck do we go after this nightmare, right? We've gone all the way from Reagan all the way to Trump. And it's just it's been blowing up slowly and slowly. And then it blew up with Trump. Technically, it should have blown up with him. And then they should have fallen down. And then they should have been like, where does the party go from here? But they never did that.
So they did start to have that in 2012. Like 2012 was an inflection point for them where they looked at it and they said, man, like the ACA is not very popular because it was new. And like, you know, we should be able to beat Obama. They couldn't beat Obama. Democrats picked up seats in that election as well. And so then they kind of like looked back to see, all right, what, you know, what are we doing wrong here? Like, you know, what are we doing? And then they ended up somehow with Trump. Like, and that wasn't their plan, obviously. Like, they didn't plan to have Donald Trump come on the scene and take over that party. He was just a force of nature, I guess, in Republican politics that just came along at the right time when there wasn't really a clear, you know, like it was up for grabs. Like when he came onto the scene.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it was in shambles. It was directional.
And they thought, by the way, because when they did nominate him, like, they didn't think he was going to win. And so they thought that they were going to have that real reckoning back in 2016. Like, they were planning on it. Yep. And then somehow they managed to sweep the election, and they're just like, oh, well, I guess we're back in charge again. Like, they just like completely dismissed, you know, all of the downward trends that were happening. Which is very short-sighted. I mean, par for the course for the Republican Party, not being able to, look past the tree. Because you should have, like, a smart consultant would have been able to tell you, hey, this is going to boomerang on you. Like, this guy is a psycho. Like, he's completely inexperienced. He's going to fuck shit up. And he's going to swing things back around to the Democrats. And by the way, you still haven't fixed the core issues that still exist inside the party.
And that's the thing, is Donald Trump was the sort of outer dressing of a problem. Like,
he was like the fucking Flex Seal commercial where the water's like fly out of top and he just like smacks the Flex Seal on it. Like, right. There it is.
Right. But eventually you got to deal with that hole. And the core of that party is gone. It is rotted out. It is just a ghost shell of a fucking party. And the second Donald Trump doesn't have an iron grip on the majority of those people, it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so what they're going to either have to do is they're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, as they say, and really figure out where does this party go in the future to actually survive. Or they have to keep replacing the Flex Seal, right? They got to just keep putting on another douchebag to just run the dead ghost shell of a party into the next cycle. Now, is that Ron DeSantis? I don't know. Because I feel like Donald Trump is 100% cool with destroying Ron DeSantis in a primary and then likely losing in a major election. Like, okay. I'm also okay with that. Like, but I think, like, people are like, oh, they'll abandon him for Ron DeSantis. I don't think they will. I don't think they will. They will take Ron DeSantis if they can't have Trump. But if Trump is there and Ron DeSantis is also there, nah, like, you want the real thing, baby. You don't want American Coke. You want Mexican Coke. You want the original. Like, knock it off. Like, that's what they want. So it's going to be really difficult for them as a party to recover, especially if Donald Trump wins the primary. And if he runs, I think he probably will. And he knocks DeSantis down and, like, DeSantis loses. One, DeSantis' career is fucked because you lose to Trump. That's it. Because Trump doesn't beat anybody nicely.
With grace. Yeah.
No, like, he doesn't.
He will pound you into the fucking dirt until you show him subservience. And then, you know, then maybe you can get back at his good graces. But then you look like a bitch. Like Lindsey Graham is never running for president again.
No. Ted Cruz is never going to run. How could he? Like, dude, you were out there, like, making phone calls for this dude after he called your wife ugly. Like, I thought you were supposed to be, like Texas tough guy. Like, nah, that's unacceptable. So, yeah, if Ron DeSantis loses to Trump, his career is done. Now, that's kind of the best thing that could happen to us, right? Two fascists destroying each other. Because I think you put Donald Trump up against Joe Biden again, I think Donald Trump loses again. Like, I do, because I think people will come out of the fucking woodwork to keep him out of office again.
See, but I also think that, like, even if DeSantis gets, you know, knocked down, like, someone else will rise up that's just as shitty.
Oh, no, of course. I'm just saying it knocks him out. Like, just him specifically. It doesn't stop the problem.
The bigger problem for Republicans, and I guess we'll really see if this holds true when we get to November this year, is that Democrats did take a step back after 2016, because that shit was embarrassing, and they're just like, yeah, man, something fucked up that this was able to happen, right? So like, we do need to take a step back, and it's not perfect. Like, there's still definitely rocky roads. Like, there's still a lot Absolutely. Of, you know, a lot of dissension's not the word I'm looking for, but there's not complete agreement between the more far left and more centrist sides of the party, but Biden's election proves that you're able to put that shit aside when it counts. Now the thing is, we just have to, you know, make people understand that it counts every 2 years, not just, right, and really, yeah, every year, depending on what state you're in.
You're right, but, exactly. Yeah,
but this shit counts every 2 years, and you have to have that same energy and maintain it, because voting is not like, oh, like, you know, we showed up for the presidential election and then fucked off for, you know, another 4 years. Like, it doesn't fucking work that way.
Right. So, yeah, look, I think they're in a world of trouble. I do. And it, you know, I saw an article, a blurb, and it was like, Donald Trump will likely destroy the Republican Party before he has a chance to destroy democracy. And it's like, that's likely true. Like, he might destroy one party completely, and then it's like, oh, well, they're already done. So you can't advance anymore. Like, you're fucked because you destroyed your own party. And I think he doesn't realize, like, I think he knows how much power he wields, but it only in the, like, in his mind, in a positive way. I don't think he realizes how much power he wields negatively within his own sphere of influence.
Even, I don't think he care, though. Like again, he doesn't think further than what he can do to benefit himself. Like, that's literally all that matters. He would burn that party to a crisp if it would gain him any kind of leverage or any kind of power or any kind of, you know, persuasion, or if it somehow got him in the presidency. Like, if he had to literally, like, burn out the Republican Party to create the MAGA party, he would do it in a heartbeat, as long as he won.
Yeah. I look, like I said, that idea of, if Trump loses or doesn't run and a bunch of these MAGA people get into Congress, like, I think it's going to be a nightmare for the Republican Party, because I think they're going to be like, you know what, you guys aren't hardcore enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
You need to reinstate Donald Trump, and regular Republicans are going to be like, that seems like an insane thing to do. And they'll be like, that's cool, fuck you. Like,
If Trump some, like, were to win in 2024, I think that you would see a concerted effort to oust Mitch McConnell. Like, because Mitch McConnell will be up again, assuming he doesn't retire, in 2026.
Yeah.
So I think that you would see, like, a hardcore effort to get rid of him as much as possible.
How about this? I think you're going to hear calls for him to retire if the Republicans don't take the Senate this year.
Well, that'd be pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Look at that article. That article is like, Trump is already gearing up that if the Republicans don't win, if they don't take the Senate, this is Mitch McConnell's fault.
Which is why I said last week, like, I don't think he, not only do I not think he cares if they lose this fall, but I think he, and secretly in his heart of hearts, he might actually prefer it, because that would let him, yeah, like, campaign against him in the party.
I think you're, like, I hadn't thought about that, but I think you're absolutely right. It does actually benefit him more if the Republican Party gets, and not just loses, just a fucking drubbing, like a drubbing, right? Because if they it, like, and the funny thing is they don't even have to lose by much. They just have to not win the House and Senate as it is normally dictated. And then that's enough to slam McConnell.
The irony would be, it would be because of his preferred candidates that they would lose. He would not acknowledge that fact. And Lord knows McConnell would probably try to shout that for the rooftops, but he would, like I said, he'd be the architect of their destruction and then fucking rule over the ashes, essentially. Like, that's kind of what his plan would be.
I don't know, man. Maybe he secretly put in Herschel Walker because he knew he would lose. He's like, well, that guy's an idiot. Like,
I'd like to think that, but I don't want to attribute that much credit to Trump. No, so
he's not like, he's all id. He doesn't have time to think about shit. Get out of here. Maybe someone else on his team was like, yeah, Herschel Walker seems like just the type of guy who could fuck this up for us. Like, hell yeah, let's go. This is a great story. But before I get to the story, where do I get one of these shirts that this guy is wearing? My God. You notice the lapel there, Brad?
Yeah, what's up with that?
C for T, Cowboys for Trump.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking lame.
Who the fuck monograms their collar? Like, it's one thing to have it on your fucking sleeve, but like, what the fuck? Like, I've literally never seen a monogrammed collar before.
Well, Brad, I hate to say this, you know, because yeah, I like you, but you're not a fucking cowboy, all right? So like, that's why. It's part of it. A judge removed Cowboys for Trump founder Cooey? Is it like, Bowie? Cooey?
I'm going to say Coy.
I'm going Cooey. Spell your name correct. Cooey Griffin from elected office over his role in the Capitol attack. So this D-bag who monogrammed his lapel like the
judge?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. A New Mexico judge. No. The New Mexico judge invoked
Jesus Christ. I was about to say, like, I definitely misread that. Misread that part.
He's a commissioner though. He's a commissioner in New Mexico. So,
yes. Okay. Yeah.
So, this walking yeehaw, decided that he was going to be a Capitol, January 6th Capitol, insurrectionist. And so a judge in New Mexico, where he's from, invoked the Constitution and removed him from his commissioner seat. In a blistering 49-page opinion, Judge Francis Matthew formally labeled the Capitol attack as an insurrection and found that Griffin's involvement fell under the so-called disqualification clause of the 14th Amendment, which bars anyone from holding office if they took an oath to uphold the Constitution and then, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion or gave aid or comfort to insurrectionists. This is not a small moment. This is a big moment.
No, it's setting a precedent.
That's right. So, fucking Cowboys for Trump, dickbag. He's none too pleased. But it doesn't matter because this. Well, before
I like this statement from the judge. I'm gonna read it verbatim here. His protestations and his characterizations of his actions and the events of January 6, 2021 are not credible and amounted to nothing more than attempting to put lipstick on a pig. I love that. I love that that idiom. Like, that's one of my favorite idioms. So.
I remember when Obama used lipstick on a pig and he was talking about like Republican policies and Sarah Palin was like, the right was like, you're calling Sarah Palin a pig. And it's like, yeah, he wasn't talking about Sarah Palin at all. Like, okay. It's kind of fucked up. Like, she's not a hideous person. You don't have to refer to her as a pig.
I love his defense. This dude's defense was that they couldn't prove, the Justice Department couldn't prove that he was aware that the Capitol grounds were restricted on January 6th. And then his lawyer tried to say, because when he entered, Vice President Pence had already been, ushered away to safety. that they were no longer restricted at that point.
Yeah. Okay. All right, buddy. That's your argument. Oh, we weren't able to kill the vice president, so it's fine now. Oh, good. Look, I like this precedent. Look for this precedent to be used more and more. For people who are sitting officials, there was that like sitting official in Michigan, I think, who also was a Capitol rioter, which is, or insurrectionist. By the way, look for them to use this against Trump.
Not only Trump, Doug Mastriano.
That's right.
That was totally there.
That's right. Who did the exact same level of shit that this guy did. Because I remember Mastriano is mentioned a number of times in articles about this guy. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if they drop that shit. Like, if Mastriano wins, which I don't think he's going to, but if he does, don't be surprised if Pennsylvania's like, hey, guess what? Bam, motherfucker, you're out. Like, you're done. But right now he's running, so he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't hold the governor's seat. But make no mistake that if he wins,
he's still a state senator. Right?
No, I know that. I know that. But what I'm saying is, considering that this is a highly visible election, I could see why they're not doing it. But if he wins, or if he doesn't win and he goes back to the state senate, they're gonna drop that shit on him. And that'd they should. Pretty cool. Yeah. Honestly. Like, oh, you lost the governorship, you giant racist. And you lost your other seat because fuck you. Like, yeah. Like two things like, that go that taste great together.
And then you can say, hey, to him, why don't you secede then? You seem to already have the garb for it.
Yeah, get the fuck loser. Out. Yeah. Head down south. Wearing a fucking Southerner or like the Confederate uniform in Pennsylvania. And what was it? At Gettysburg. Dude, just like on a Tuesday? That's fucking weird. So yeah, no, this guy getting pulled is kind of a big deal. It's a super big deal. Last story, as Jesus would do, judge rules against required coverage of HIV prevention, preventative drug, or AKA PrEP drugs. A federal judge ruled Wednesday that required coverage of HIV prevention drugs under the Affordable Care Act violates Texas employers' religious beliefs and undercuts the broader system that determines which preventative drugs are covered in the U.S. The ruling was handed down by U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, whose courtroom in Fort Worth is favored venue for conservative opponents of federal health care laws is known as Obamacare. The challenge is brought by a company owned by Stephen Holtz, a conservative activist in Texas who helped defeat proposed blah, 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 blah. So basically they don't want these companies to have to pay for these PrEP drugs, right? Which are to keep people from spreading HIV and to catch HIV. Mm-hmm.
Dude, this was literally the fucking plot of an episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Like there's literally an episode where a doctor, you know, like got in trouble because he was, you know, treating a woman for HIV holistically and, you know, and she died. And then like her son ended up getting HIV as well. And he was like, why didn't, you know, why, like you could have been treated for this. And he's like, my mom's like, it was against our religion. I'm just like, oh, well that's cool. Like you dumb fucks.
Jesus Christ. Now, I will say this. This, from my understanding, is the same reason why a number of states didn't want to join. They didn't want to sign off on the Disabilities Act as well, because of having to provide some level of drugs and things like that for HIV patients. Then, like. What are we doing? Like, you're supposed to be a religious organization. Why would you want more people having HIV? Why?
Oh, well, no, I can answer that for you, Jay, because if it's a religious organization, you know, rooted in Catholicism or just Christianity, they still look at HIV as a disease that's primarily in the gay community.
Which it is not at all at this point.
Certainly not anymore.
Fuck yeah, no, dude. No. No, it's definitely mostly people who are straight. Like,
yeah.
there's just simply more of them. Like, yeah, just simply more of them. It's a numbers game, baby. Like, what are you talking about? Why would we want to have more people with HIV? That, like, but I don't even think it's not that they just think that it's a gay disease or whatever fucking stupid shit. But I also think they think of it as a punishment for having sex before you're married. I think that's a big one. They're like, yeah, get them, right? Yeah. But like, people can get HIV from like blood transfusions, dude. Like,
literally the most arguably the most famous case of HIV ever came via a blood transfusion.
Which case is that?
Arthur Ashe. Did he not have HIV?
He did, but I don't think it was through a blood transfusion.
Let me see here.
Or no, I'm thinking of Greg Louganis. No. Yeah, maybe it was Arthur Ashe, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they
pretty
both
sure.
Have, which is fucked up.
Sorry. Google. Yeah, he died from as a result of a complication from AIDS that he got as part of a blood transfusion. So,
Jesus Christ. So yeah, it's I don't know, man. I like, if you're supposed to be the like organization, and I'm okay with you saying that, like just be about it. Like, hey man, we're the organization that like helps people and like does good things. Like, then you should be the first ones. You should be the first ones in line to actually do good and not do the opposite of that.
I don't know, man. Jesus famously had a list of diseases that he wasn't all about. He's like, you know, yeah, fucking fuck that. You know, like leprosy, I'll help you out, no problem. You know, fucking hepatitis, not so much. Like, I'm not about that life. Sorry.
Nah. Look what you did. Look what you did. By the way, would you guys would you guys like some more fish and bread? No, man. I want the prep drugs. So look, I just stop calling yourselves like, you know, groups that are for like helping people. Like, you're not. Like, you're just not. Yeah. And look, just say that. And that way we can all stop having this argument that you're pretending that you give a fuck about other people. You don't. You don't. That's clear. You absolutely don't. I wish you would just stop lying to people. It's really fucking irritating.
I mean, I would like someone to make the compelling argument of any point in history where Christianity writ large gave a shit about the masses. Like, you can, of course, point to individual pockets of people, of leaders in Christianity that do care and do,
oh, absolutely,
you know, do walk the, yeah, and talk the talk. But as a general religion.
No, writ large, no.
Yeah, their brand is exclusivity. And you know, like non-tolerance, and you know, by the way, like that fucking dude that you're playing to, that dude sucks. Come over and pray to our God. Yeah, we really don't want to. Oh, you don't want to? Cool, we're gonna fucking invade you and then convert you to Christianity. Yeah. That's how we feel about this.
don't worry, stay over there. We're gonna crusade our way over to you and murder you. Like, please don't come here. Like, no, don't worry. We're here to help. So like, I wish people would stop pretending that you give a fuck about other people when you're not able to do the most basic thing. Like, this doesn't require any active work. It's just,
it really doesn't.
Like, you're just like, oh, this person needs
my healthcare. Literally.
Yeah.
Like, you're my employer.
Yeah. Why do you get to dictate? I mean, there was a story in the Washington Post, I think, this week, past weekend, and it was like, you know, this pharmacist was fired from her job because she refused to give out Plan B pills. And so I'm like reading the story, and it's like, she was in a state that abortion is legal.
Right. She just chose not to do it. Well, guess what? Then you don't get to be a fucking pharmacist.
Right. Everybody in the comments was like, good. Fuck you. Yeah. Like, you should be fired. Also, why is it up to you to choose whether people should get something that is over the counter? Just give me my drugs. I'm not asking you, like, I'm not asking for your opinion. Just give me the goddamn drugs. I don't give a fuck what your opinion is. Well, yeah, like I have a moral standing in this.
Yeah, the person that gets to decide whether I can have this or not is my doctor, and she said it was cool. So right. Like, you're just the middleman in this equation.
Right. You just pack the box. Let's go. Get it up to the register so I can get the fuck out of here. And look, Plan B is over the counter. Like, you don't need doctor's permission. Hey, I'm here for fucking Advil, basically. Give me what I need so I can go. Well, I don't feel you should have it.
your job is to take the little fucking stick and, like, you know, take the big pile of pills and make it into a smaller pile of pills. And then not into a jar. Well,
yeah. I love Brad's interpretation of what a pharmacist is. You take a big pile of pills and you make it into a smaller pile of pills. I mean, look, right. I don't know a lot about being a pharmacist. I feel like that's kind of all they do. Right? Put it into the bottle.
They got to make sure that they're taking the right bottle. They got to make sure it's labeled correctly. That we're printing the right dosage on there. Like, you know, they got to read that crazy doctor handwriting, which is only decipherable to pharmacists and doctors.
Apparently. That's true. That's half of medical school when you're a pharmacist is just learning Sanskrit. It's like learning to read the Dead Sea Scroll, so you know what a doctor's talking about. But that's about it. Yeah, that and, you know, big pile to little pile. Like, yeah, it just makes sense. Anybody could be a pharmacist. Anybody. Come on. It's so simple. Make $100,000 a year. Actually, pharmacists get paid quite a lot.
I'm good. I mean, I'm glad, but, you know.
But you should just.
Doesn't change the fact that their job is, I feel like it's relatively simple. I could be wrong, and I might sound ignorant to shit right now, but that's okay. I wonder if we have any pharmacists that listen to the show. I'm sure they'll
like, dude. Dude, I do way more than that. I also sometimes make smaller piles of pills, and I add them to other small piles of pills to make a larger pile of pills. It's totally different. You never thought about that, have you? We're going to continue slandering pharmacists from now on this show. That's our vendetta, is that pharmacists don't do shit. It's a bullshit job. Anybody could do it. But yeah, look, don't tell people what drugs they cannot have. That's ridiculous. Like, if their doctor says it's safe, or it's over the counter, like Plan B or something like that, just do your job. Just do your job. That is simple and plain.
Literally all you have to do. You don't have it on the docket, but just a quick this week is stupid. Apparently Dr. Oz going after the cousin fucker vote.
Yeah, this is a very weird thing. Let me see. Because I messaged it to you and Andy with the title, lol, what?
So apparently he went on the morning show a few years back with everyone's favorite, you know, Charlemagne the God.
Oh, Charlemagne the God. Know, oh, God. What a terrible choice. What a terrible choice.
Yeah. And they were, and basically, like, I guess someone called in or wrote into the show, and, like, they were just like, yeah, like, you know, I slept with my cousin one time, and she's still trying to be all about that, and I'm really not, because I'm not trying to have little inbred babies. And Dr. Oz's response is basically like, oh, as long as it's second cousin or more distant, like, it's fine. Like, no big deal. No problem.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
And then went on to say that human beings are genetically predisposed to not want to fuck with their first cousins because, like, there's things about them that make them unappealing. And much like, you know, that's why, like, you know, daughters don't want to, you know, fuck people that smell like their dads. Like, my daughters hate how I smell. And I'm just like, this is weird, man.
This whole conversation is pretty weird, dude. He's like, I mean, I've been trying, but they just don't want to go for it. Like, please stop talking to us. No, there is some scientific evidence, not to defend Dr. Oz and his fucking weirdo crudité lifestyle. But there is some science behind, like, there is, like, a repulsion, not like he's saying, like, I hate the way my dad smells. It's not like that, but there is supposed to be, like, this repulsion of not hating your dad. It's not wanting to fuck your dad. Like, that's what it is. It's not about, like, them hating your smell, but it is supposed to, there is supposed to be a revulsion of, like, no, that's not. Ugh.
Yeah, I do not find this sexually attractive.
Yeah, this does not work for me, right? But him, he's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not your first cousin. It's no big deal. Don't do that. Like, I know he's a carpetbagger, but maybe he forgot which state he's in. Now, if this was Kentucky, totally. Or perhaps, I don't know, just to give a hard time to some of our listeners, Alabama or Nebraska. You know, places like that where, you know.
To be fair, this actually might be a quite savvy political appeal on his part, because there are places in, especially like central Kentucky, that are nicknamed Pencil-tucky.
That's true.
That people that are from Pennsylvania call, like my brother-in-law call Pencil-tucky.
Yeah. So look, he's going for the ruby red vote. I'm like, dude, you already got them. Like, you don't have to appeal to them anymore. You already got them.
It's sewed up, baby. Like, yeah, you don't gotta.
All 10 of these people are fucking already down for your veggie platter. They got it.
I can't remember Fetterman's response, but I think he was like, obviously, like, we are pro not sleeping with.
Oh, husband. No. His tweet was, he quote tweeted the story from Jezebel that says Dr. Oz on incest more than first cousins. Not a big problem. John Fetterman quote tweeted that by saying, yet another issue where Oz and I disagree. Like, no, I'm not. Like, John Fetterman is quite literally running away with his election via tweet. Like, he's just destroying him. Like, they don't need, I mean, I want to see them debate. Like, he doesn't need to debate him. He doesn't even have to do TV ads. He's just destroying him on social media alone. I mean, it is brutal.
One of my favorite things that Dr. Oz said is that in trying to appeal to Pennsylvania voters, like, he mentioned the fact that he's like, oh, you know, I grew up just south of Philadelphia. But except that just south of Philadelphia is Wilmington, Delaware, which is notably not in Pennsylvania. Just pointing that out.
Yeah. Has he ever even been to PA? I would be curious.
I mean, he's definitely been to Redner's, at least. So he's got that going for him.
Oh, right.
Or sorry, Wagner's. He's been to Wagner's to get a crudité.
I don't even have any tequila yet, guys. I mean, come on. what a fucking weird statement. That John Fetterman, Dr. Oz race is getting embarrassing. Like, it's getting embarrassing. Yeah. Like, even Dr. Oz has realized that he can't depend on Trump in that race, because he came out and was like, I would have certified that election, that Joe Biden Trump election.
Yeah. Well, no, he doubled back today.
Oh, really? He's like, you gonna help me?
Yeah. He tried to fudge it. He's like, obviously something crazy is going on, and I gotta tell you, if I was in the Senate, like, I'd vote to get to the bottom of that. So
yeah, see, that's coward shit. If you're gonna throw Trump under the bus, stick with it. You might pick up a couple votes.
He doesn't have the balls to stick with that.
No, he does not. which is pathetic. All right, that is it for us. Any wild predictions for next week?
No, again, I'm just, they did finally announce the, Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Herschel Walker, fucking thing. That's going to be happening sometime. Yeah.
Yikes. Good. Best of luck. I guess.
On the plus side, it's going to give us some choice fucking content for the show.
Oh my God. Who are you kidding? Holy shit. I will say this. Oof, that picture of Trump is rough, dude. I was trying to find another quote here, but look, John Harwood got bounced out of CNN for basically saying that Trump is like we shouldn't be trying to like play both sides and just be honest. And they were like, see that box over there? Put your shit in it and leave. Like, he quite literally came out and was like, I'm done.
Discovery is like all in on, making it as nonpartisan as possible, which really means pro-Republican, because to be nonpartisan would be just tell the truth, which would make you inherently pro-Democrat. So,
yep. Well, and the funny thing is, I saw today that CNN's trying to do this like right wing turn or whatever, but so they could pick up more Fox News listeners or viewers. But all that's happening is that they're just seeding a bunch of viewers to MSNBC. Actually,
like Fox News people inherently do not trust you.
No,
like they don't why you're trying to appeal to that viewership is beyond me.
Well, for the same reason that they're going to turn HBO into My 600-Pound Life and all this other bullshit on the Learning Channel. Because it's easy, no offense, but it's easy to appeal to people who are pretty simple-minded. And so you throw all that shit. And look, I'm not saying that everybody in the Midwest is simple-minded. I'm saying they think that you are. That's why they feed you a bunch of garbage, right? Like, oh, here's all this garbage reality television. Here's this garbage fucking half-witted news, in quotes, and all of a sudden. They think that you're dumb. I'm not saying that you're dumb. They think that, and I know that because I'm watching what they throw at you. I mean, look at the shit that they throw at the coast. They're different, right?
Yeah.
You can't put shows on from 7:30 to 10 o'clock or whatever that are just a bunch of bullshit. You can't. You got to come with facts and reason and real guests and not just screaming. Like, you have to. Like, Fox? I saw there was a Fox executive who came out recently and was like, there was a letter that he sent to the other people saying they can't put Judge Jeanine back on the air because all she's doing is repeating crazy conspiracy theories that she's getting off the internet.
Yep.
You think you're ever going to see some shit like that? Like, hey, we can't put Maddow on the air because she's just reading 4chan all day. Like, no. 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 Like, that's like none of the people who are on, none of the people who are on MSNBC's like night block are dumb. None of them are dumb. They're all heavily educated, you know, journalism students and Rhodes scholars and fucking super smart people capable. Who do they have on Fox? Judge Jeanine, Sean Hannity, all these, like Judge Jeanine is probably the most educated, but she's quite literally tipsy on television all the time. I mean, she clearly has an alcohol problem. Like, that is very clear. But Sean Hannity, he's not smart. He's not a smart guy. Look, it's not about you agreeing with him or not. He's not a smart guy. He just simply isn't, right? Like, you have a bunch of people who are not that bright. They put those people on because they think that you're not that bright. Again, it's not me saying it. It's them saying it. The Republican Party treats their people the way they do. It's not me calling you dumb. They call you dumb. The number one
Like the prime viewing for folks in like the Midwest. So like 1 or 2 hours behind. Greg Gutfeld comes on at 11 o'clock Eastern. Yeah. That tells you a lot of what you need to know about what they think of folks out there, what they want to watch at 9 and 10 o'clock.
Right. But again, we're not calling you stupid. They're calling you that, right? Like, you can defend Steve Bannon all you want as a right winger and say, oh, the Democrats are going after him, but what is he being indicted for? Scamming you. Not scamming liberals. Not scamming Democrats.
You didn't give Steve Bannon money for the wall project.
You did. And that's the funny thing is, Donald Trump scams you. He doesn't scam us. He didn't decide to run as a Democrat. He decided to run as a Republican because it would be easier. Mm-hmm. You think he could have gotten out of a primary as a Democrat? No. Because they would have asked him policies and he couldn't say anything. They'd be like, next. Like, Democrats would never put up with it. They wouldn't. It's frustrating because it's like, I feel like I could be in the Senate comparative to the morons that are there, or in the House at least.
I'll put it to you like this. We could be rolling in money right now if we were willing to sell out our scruples for
holy
for
shit. All we would have to do is come on here and feed you a bunch of right wing bullshit, and this channel would explode.
A black dude and a white dude talking together politics. Oh my God, it's a gold mine.
Yeah, man, that's a fucking welcome to Bacardi and Cola. like, yeah, the Bacardi and Cola of right wing politics. Like, you could, you quite literally could, because the barrier of entry is so fucking low. It's so low. Slow. You don't have to know shit. You don't have to really make sense. You know, just yell and scream at Democrats are the devil, and Donald Trump is going to be reinstated in November or whatever horse shit. QAnon, 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 and then you're back on top. Told you. I've always kind of wanted to make a channel at the same time and see the rate of growth. Like, it would be exponentially different just because.
Probably would.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I have it in me to play that part for an hour.
I don't. One, I wouldn't be able to stop laughing. Two, I would start to get irritated at the things coming out of my mouth, and then I would break character. I'd be like, no one believes this. No one sane believes any of this. This is crazy. But yeah, there's plenty of people who don't because they're nuts. All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week. The thing I was trying to find, Adam Kinzinger kind of gave up a little bit of the ghost about the January 6th committee is coming back this month. And what they're going to be covering. And one of the things they're going to be covering is, yes, they tried to do the insurrection. Yes, they tried to take over the government. But like, what were they planning? like once they gain power, once they rig the election in their favor, what were they planning once they gain power? What were they going to do?
Sounds exciting. Can't wait for our next prime time episode of As January 6th Turns.
Yes, I can't wait because that shit's getting juicy. But that second round is going to be that's going to be it. So I've missed it. I look forward to just them just dropping dimes on everybody. So I'm hoping the second round is just as good. I have a feeling in it will be. So, and now with all this new information about stolen records, I wonder will they be able to tie any of that in?
Yeah, well, I mean, we shall see. I feel like that's gonna be two separate cases, though.
You never can tell, man. It's like you never know. All right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next time.